Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Have you ever been disrespected by somebody? Have someone treat you in an unkind way? And think about how we respond to that when someone is disrespectful or unkind to us. How do we respond? We usually respond by getting more distant with them emotionally. We're not willing to be as open with them or as vulnerable with them. We might even physically begin to remove ourselves from them by, in the form of not being around them as much, avoiding them, not spending as much time with them, because that's a hard emotion. It's not easy. It's not good to deal with someone being disrespectful towards us. It's a hard emotion. And the opposite of that is soft. And when we think of softness, is when people are kind towards us or tender-hearted or sweet towards us. And think about the people in our lives that are soft towards us and kind and sweet towards us. There's a certain response that comes from that as well, isn't there? We tend to want to be around them more often, and we seek them out, and we become more open and more vulnerable with them because of the behavior that they are demonstrating before us. It's something that we should think about when we're considering how we should behave towards other people, right? Because if that kind of effect happens to me, then it's probably happening to other people as I'm dishing out either kindness or harshness or rudeness. And kindness is a scalable thing. When we are kind to the people in our lives, the relationships get better. They improve, they're stronger, there's greater connection, there's greater fulfillment for them and for us. And so it's scalable. And relationships, in a lot of ways, is what creates a lot of good in our lives. So the opportunities that we have in life, think about the opportunities you've had in life or haven't had in life. A lot of times, they're dependent upon other people. You know, if we want to have a good marriage, it's dependent upon the other person. A good family or household. If we want to get a job, certain financial things are connected to this. This whole idea of how we behave towards others, especially in kindness, it's scalable, it affects things. Perhaps more important is its effect on the receptivity of others to Jesus Christ. Because I don't know if you know this, but the moment that we've identified as a follower of Christ, and we can do this in many different ways. We can do it by the clothes we wear. We can do it by what we slap on our car or the kind of music we're listening to. We can do it just by people knowing we go to church. And that doesn't necessarily indicate the depth of the faith that we have, but any kind of things we say and stuff and do can begin to tell people, this is someone who is a Christian. And the moment that happens, then to them, my behavior is reflective of who Jesus is. And so when I lack kindness and when I'm hard and rough and rude and those kind of things, it makes people not want to be around Jesus. In fact, think about how many people leave church because they got hurt by someone in the church because they don't want to be a part of that kind of behavior. And when we're behaving, we have to consider, am I chasing someone away from Jesus by the way I'm behaving? Or am I attracting them to Jesus by the way that I'm behaving? And it's why it's very important kindness is to the Lord. In fact, in our passage at the last verse of that paragraph in verse 32, Paul says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind to one another because it's linked to people's openness to the Lord and to ourselves. It's very important. But I think sometimes we don't really know what kindness actually is. I know that's the case because I've experienced people that have thought they were being kind to me and they were not being kind to me. Like, for example, if maybe you heard something like this, you know, you're not that bad of a person. You're just not that bright. You heard things like that? It's like, well, if I attach a kind word to my insult, then that somehow makes me behaving in a kind way. And even that starting line, you're not that bad of a person, in and of itself is a lack of kindness, right? And so we need to understand what that kindness is, because I think sometimes we think that if we don't say certain things, then that means that we're behaving kindly. Because have you ever had people being disrespectful to you in a very subtle way? It's kind of like, have you ever had someone compliment you and you walked away feeling like you were insulted? They said the right things, but I feel like they're insulting me somehow. I'm not really sure how that works. They snuck it in. But silence, we could be unkind in our silence. Have you ever been like, you're around people and they're like, good job, that was a great job. Next person, good job, that was a great job. Next person, great, great job. Next person. They didn't say anything hurtful, but their silence was saying a lot. Have you ever had that before? And what we have to understand is when we do things, or people do things to us and it hurts, we need to realize I'm doing that same thing when I'm dishing that out. And again, we think that kindness means not saying hurtful things or not doing hurtful things, and that's a really incomplete picture of what kindness is. In fact, if we were to do a word study in the scriptures of being kind, what we would find and what I discovered is every time the word kind was referred to an individual in the Bible, it wasn't because they weren't doing things. It was because they were doing and saying things that were bringing goodness and generosity and help and wholeness and encouragement into people's lives. And so if I'm not saying or doing anything that might be safe, it's not kindness. Kindness is actually doing, and we might say, well, I don't know how comfortable I am with all that sappy stuff of giving people compliments and saying nice things, or I'm an introvert, or I don't know if I can express things like that. And it's not all expression, it's in words too. But did you know, in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, which means that if I'm a follower of Jesus, he has given me the Holy Spirit, which means I have the capacity to be kind. That picture of kindness that God has, I am capable of being that. Well, then why am I not that? And why do I need a sermon to show me how to be that if all it takes is for the Holy Spirit to do his work in his life, our lives? Well, part of that is because we tend to get in the way of the things that God wants us to become by introducing fleshly things into our lives, and we create obstacles that prevent us from being the kind of person that God wants us to be. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, bad company corrupts good morals. So the people that I'm around, no matter how much good character I might start out with, tend to warp us and make us be worse as people. And we might say, well, I don't need to cut this out of my life. And maybe that's true, unless if we were to look at our lives and ask ourselves, am I a kind person? Or am I a rude person? Am I a hurtful person? And if the answer is, well, I don't know if I'm really kind like the Lord wants me to be, then maybe we should consider that there's influences in our lives that we might need to remove. And there's limitations to that. Like, we can't cut our family out, you know. We can't, you know, divorce. God hates divorce. You can't do that. And so there's certain people we can't get rid of. Like, some of us work with unkind people, right? Anybody work with unkind people? Some of us live with unkind people. Don't respond to that one. They might be here. Some of us go to church with some unkind people. Again, don't raise your hand on that one. That's other churches, not this church. Some of us live next door to unkind people, so we can't always get rid of the unkindness in our lives in order to encourage goodness in us, but we can to a degree. And there are times when we can say, you know, I'm going to not enjoy that when that person behaves that way. I'm not going to participate in that. And maybe if it's reasonable, I am going to pull away, limit my connection with that person. But sometimes we think this bad company corrupts good morals is only applicable to our human interactions in person or by phone. But it's more than that. It's anytime we're encountering human behavior, even if it's on a screen. And so if we're watching TV shows or movies that are encouraging unkindness, and we are mimicking that behavior, then we need to stop watching that stuff if it's encouraging that. Or what we're listening to, podcast, radio, things we're seeing on social media, whether it's a person actually talking or it's in print, the things we read or the posts that we read in social media, if it's portraying unkind sentiments and I'm lacking in kindness, then I might need to get rid of that stuff so that I can be the kind of person that God wants me to be. And today and for the next two Sundays, we're going to walk through how to cultivate our heart. Did you know the Bible tells us to guard our hearts because from it flows the springs of life. And so we need to take care that our heart is the right kind of thing. And next week, we're going to look at cultivating joy. Wouldn't you like to be joyful? Right? Wouldn't you like to be joyful? Or gratitude we'll look at 2 weeks from today. But today, cultivating a heart of kindness. And all we have to do is learn how to get the flesh out of the way so that the Spirit of God can flow through us because the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And so there's seven actions we need to take to begin to remove the obstacles to being a kind person. And in our passage, now, did anybody love grammar in school? And language, arts, and those kind of things? Good. Most of you are with me. I didn't. I know Sean does. That's great. I didn't really like it, but it's important to understand how to interpret Scripture. And so I'm sure that's probably helped you in interpreting Scripture because it's written to us in language, and so we have to understand sentence structure and things like that. So we're looking at this last paragraph in chapter 4, and did you remember learning that your first sentence and your last sentence in a paragraph means something to the paragraph, doesn't it? The last sentence is kind of trying to pull all the thoughts of that paragraph together. And the way Paul ends this paragraph is that verse we read a moment ago, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, which means everything he wrote in that paragraph is funneling down to that realization that I'm called to be kind. And so all of these things in here are giving me instructions on how to become a kind person. It starts with verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Okay? So we have to understand this, what this means by speak truth to our neighbors. Because I think when we initially read that, we might think, well, that means if it's true, I have to say it. Okay? So someone might not be that good looking, and they might be a little overweight. Men, you should know this. You're not supposed to say that, okay? Now, I'm lucky I don't have to lie, and I'm not saying you should lie, but speaking the truth does not say, because it's true, I must say it. What it's saying, because notice, first of all, it's in contrast. Instead of speaking false things, speak the truth. So when I am speaking, I am to make sure that the things I'm saying are actually true and genuine. Well, what are false things? Did you notice it said in verse 25, therefore? If someone says therefore, then that means there's something he's about to say that's in relationship to something he just said. And so in order for us to understand this falsehood and truth scenario, we have to know what he means by it. So jump up into the paragraph above that one at verse 17. Says this, now this I say and testify to the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Now we just talked about hard towards somebody versus tender towards somebody. That's kindness. And then the opposite of kindness. And these guys got hard somehow in their heart. Verse 19, they have become callous, again hard, and have given, how did that happen? And have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. How did they become hard in their hearts? By practicing sinful fleshly behaviors, they cultivated into their heart a heart of kindness. And then he continues, verse 20, but that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through what? Deceitful desires. The reason why I become dishonest is because I behave according to the flesh. I'm not honest with who I am and I'm not honest as far as my heart condition and my behavior. And so when he then goes and says, therefore, put away falsehood, that means that I need to put away fleshly behaviors and attitudes and heart issues away from me, and I need to speak according to the Spirit rather than according to the flesh. And so I need to be honest, not brutally honest, but honest that if something is bothering me or upsetting me, or I have certain conditions in my heart which requires me to confess before others, isn't that the easiest thing to do, to go to someone and say, I'm wrong, I'm doing bad here? Isn't that easy, right? That's easy to do? No? Right. That's hard to do. Because we don't want to admit these things. We don't ever want to talk. Even if it's somebody else, we don't, like some of us are hesitant to confront people. We don't want to say things to address the issue. And so what do? We behave dishonestly and we don't tell the truth. And it's in that context that he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor. And he needs to tell us this because when we're thinking of being kind towards others, what doesn't come to our mind is confronting somebody, right? Because we tend to think that if I'm going to confront them, that's not kind, to tell them that they're in the wrong or there's something that's not going okay there. But is that the biblical view of what kindness is? Well, in Psalm 141, verse 5, it says, let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is oil for my feet. Let my head not refuse it. Let a man strike me, and then he says it is a kindness, let him rebuke me. He's saying, not literally that he wants someone to hit him, but he's saying literally he wants someone to bring some form of confrontation or rebuke to them, because confrontation is a kindness. I don't know about you, but usually when I walk away from being confronted, I don't feel like it's kindness, right? But it's kindness if, well, Romans 2, verse 4 says, do not presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. And so true kindness is supposed to be transformative in the life of the person that we dish it out to. And so sometimes I have to dish out confrontation, but it must be restrained by the way it's delivered, and the purpose of the delivery is for them to be okay and me to be okay and us to be okay with each other and us to be okay with the Lord. But there's still a limitation to that. That does not mean that every time someone bothers me, I have to say something. Because I don't know about you. Have you ever been around somebody that always pointed out every time you made a mistake? Do you feel warm towards that person? Do you get drawn to them and you want to connect with them? No, so we have to balance this out somehow, and we have to confront sometimes, but we also have to let some things go. In fact, it says, Luke 6:35, but love your people that like you a lot and are nice to you, right? Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Lend. Okay, so I didn't give it to them. I'm going to let them borrow it, and I'm going to be okay if it doesn't come back. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. In fact, it says of our Lord in Isaiah 65:2, the Lord says, I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people. And so if we're going to speak the truth rather than falsehood, we have to know how to communicate with one another in a way that goes back and forth between at times needing to confront and at times needing to just let things go. So how does that play itself out? Okay, so someone says something that's hurtful to us, and we could say something, but it's possible that they're just having a bad day. You know, things are going on in their lives, and they don't normally behave this way. So I'm just going to let that go because it happened once. Maybe there's something I don't understand. Maybe I took them wrong. You know, have you ever thought someone was being hurtful to you, and really they had all good intentions? It was just the words that they said that kind of created some confusion for you. So just going to chalk it up to maybe I don't understand what's going on. So maybe they're not actually intending to be unkind, so I'm going to let it go. They do it a second time, and the second time, again, I'm sometimes not that bright, and I don't pick up on social cues, and maybe there's something I'm still not seeing. Maybe they're still really going through it, and so I'm just going to give them some grace and allow it, and just allow that to take place and forgive. Happens a third time, okay? And not that there's a hard and fast rule, but now maybe there's a pattern happening. Now they're maybe just routinely treating me this way and talking to me this way, and now I need to say something. But I'm going to say something gently. I'm going to say something kindly. I'm going to say something with the heart of, I want what's best for you and what's best for me and what's best for glorifying the Lord. And I'm going to say it in humility, coming forward to the conversation with the expectation of maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm missing something, but I'm going to say something. That conversation is not easy to do. But if we want to show kindness, we must do that. And we're going to see in a moment, well, I'll just give us a preview. Part of the reason we need to do that is we get ourselves at times very bitter and disgruntled towards other people because we won't tell them that they're bugging us. And also, we tend to pull back from them, and we are not sparing anybody else by not confronting it. Because if they're hurting me, they're likely out there hurting other people. And so it's kindness for me to say something about this. So that's first step. Second step, back to verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're connected. Did you know that? It's very hard to say things and behave in ways that doesn't spill over on other people. We're connected to one another. That's why the scriptures say things like, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Because if we're truly doing this right, if someone else is hurting, I should be hurting. Because it's hurting me somewhere along the line. And if someone is rejoicing and things are going well for them, I should rejoice because if they're becoming stronger and they're being blessed, it's going to move back in my direction as well. That's why Jesus was able to say, whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me, because we're connected. That's why Jesus said we are one. We are collectively the body of Christ. We belong to one another. And so goodness and pain, it spreads. Did you know that? And it ultimately comes back to me. And we know that by knowing the people that are hurtful in our lives and what's happening in their lives as a result of their hurtful behavior is pain. And we know that by the people that are good to us and bring blessings into our lives and we see what's happening to them, they are being blessed by the kind of relationships that they have because it spreads. In fact, it says in Proverbs 11, 17, a man who is kind benefits himself. But a cruel man hurts himself. Proverbs 21, 21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. So there's our motive now. If we need a motive other than to please the Lord, the motive is, why should I be kind to other people? Because it returns to me. Why shouldn't I be painful to other people? Because it returns. It comes back to me. And so there's my motive, but still, it's not easy to do. So how do we practically walk that out? Well, verse 26, I think that people are confused at times with this statement, and we're going to walk that out. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now notice in there, it says nothing to the tune of confrontation. Me not letting the sun go down on my anger doesn't mean that I need to tell that person before the day's over that they bothered me and they need to know it. That's not what it means. It says address that feeling that you had, that negative feeling you had towards that person today. Do it now. You want to know why we need to do it now? Because if we let things like that go, it festers and over time we become bitter. And before we know it, we don't even want to have anything to do with them. And so we have to address it now. And it says, be angry and do not sin. Some people take that as justification for being angry. That, okay, see, it says that I could be angry. But it's actually describing a procedure, not a justification for anger. And we know that because, jump down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, so anger is a part of these words that are being given to us. What are we supposed to do with them? That they be put away from you along with all malice. We're supposed to get rid of anger. So then what's supposed to happen? So the anger surfaces, and it's not a problem that initially I feel anger or some type of negative emotion towards someone. But once it surfaces, I need to address it now. I need to not just ignore it or try to stuff it down somewhere and pretend like it didn't exist. I need to address it now in the form of I need to talk this through with the Lord. And I need to think it through, and I need to think it through biblically. And I need to make it my effort is that this negative feeling, I'm going to get this out of my heart. Because it does no good to me, and it does no good to the people around me. And it only makes me act horribly, because who are the people that are usually hurting other people? The people who are hurt themselves. Almost every time, if not every time you find someone being hurtful, there's pain inside of that person. And it's because they didn't cultivate their heart. And so I might say, well, they don't deserve me for me not be angry with them. Fine, you might want to say that. But don't do it to yourself. And so I need to make sure I'm doing the work to get this out of me. But that's all well and good. How do I get this stuff out of my heart? Well, it starts with verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Why? So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So it starts by being good to the people in my life, even those who aren't good to me. That's why we read earlier to love our enemies, to do good to them. That's why we also see in Romans 12:20 says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, once again, sometimes people get confused by what's happening there. It's like sometimes people picture this. You know how I'm going to get back at that person? I'm going to be nice. And then they're going to burn their scalp up. Ha, ha, ha. It says you're going to heap burning coals on their head. So I'm going to take that with my kindness. And that's not a kind heart, is it? That's a heart of bitterness and animosity, and that's not actually what he's saying. In fact, historically, what was happening there is they didn't have forced air gas heat like we do. They couldn't boil their water with a gas line in their house, and so they would go get burning coals, and they would put it in a container, and they would put the container on their head, and they would carry it back to their house for productive purposes like heating their home or boiling water and those kind of things. So when it says you will heap burning coals on their head, what it means is you are giving good into their lives, which in the context of this, that makes more sense, doesn't it, than the, ha, 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 got you. It's I want to bless you. And if you want to ever find out how you can stop feeling so much animosity towards someone, start praying good for their lives. Start praying that God would bless them. And start doing good things to them. You might discover that for some reason, all of a sudden, the way you feel towards them starts to change. And if that's not enough to help, well, then we jump down to verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so I need to watch this thing. It's hard to watch this thing, isn't it? And we might think, well, but I don't say it to other people, or I don't say it directly to them. You know, I go and tell other people how horrible they are. Okay? Let other people know how hurtful this person has been. And I go and I spew that stuff to other people. And we're not supposed to let that stuff spew out. And the reason why is because out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus says, the mouth speaks. And so if out of my mouth are coming disrespectful, unkind, demeaning things about another person, then I'm demonstrating that my heart's not a good place. And sometimes I think we think what we should do is we should fix this heart so that the right things start coming out of our mouths. And that's partially true. But part of it is walking this backwards. And so if I find ugly stuff coming out of my mouth, and I might say, well, they deserve it. Okay, are you telling me that the people in your life, what you want them to start doing is just saying the things you deserve to you? It's not what we need, and that's not what Jesus does to us either. When the prodigal son came back to the father, which was a depiction of God the Father, his response wasn't, and it would have been deserved, his response wasn't, you lousy, no good son, you did this and this and this and this. His response was love and acceptance. And so the way we walk this through is if I'm saying this about people, I need to correct it. Even if I'm getting in my car and saying it about that person that's driving behind me or in front of me. Or that lousy boss of mine that I just had a conversation with. Or my husband or my wife or my kids or my parents. And I get in my car and I start saying stuff. I'm sure none of you have ever gotten in the car and started saying stuff that was ugly. And what I need to do if I want a heart of kindness is I need to, once I hear it come out of my mouth, I need to stop and say, you know what? That's not okay. Did that person hurt me? Yes. And if I care that much about it, then I need to go talk with them kindly about it and address it. But they're not the worst person in the world. Now, you don't go and you tell the other person that, hey, you're not the worst person in the world. No. But you're talking yourself back. You know, they're not the worst person in the world. And there is some good to them. And sometimes it's really hard to see it with some people. There's some good there that I can respect and admire. And they do this and they do that. And start expressing thanks and gratitude for them. You know, this is why I'm thankful that they're this way. And I'm thankful for that they're that way. And what begins to happen is we correct our words and our heart. All of a sudden, it's hard to be bitter towards them still. And have animosity. And all of a sudden, if my heart feels tender-hearted towards them, all of a sudden I start being nice to them. Have you ever started being nice to someone and you thought, where in the world did that come from? How did I start being nice to that guy? And it happens when we do stuff like this. And so even if it's true on the surface, correct it. Because like I said, I bet that most of us, if we were to find out the life history of the person that we're so upset with, we would feel grieved for them. We would feel sorry that they're going through what they're going through. And I think that we would respond really differently if we knew what was happening. I mean, have you ever made the mistake of telling someone off only to find out they were acting that way because they just found out they have cancer? Or because their wife of 30 years just passed away a month ago? Or they lost their home? Or they went through a lot in their childhood and they're just still really trying to figure their way through it. And we're thinking, but he said something insulting to me. She was not kind to me, so they deserve to be told what for. It's not the way Jesus behaved. When the woman was dragged in front of him who had committed adultery, his response wasn't hardness. It was softness and tenderness and kindness. If I want to get there, I have to walk this stuff back and do that stuff. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How would I do that? By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, God's nice to us because when we're a mess and we're upset with other people, he sometimes will be nice to us and say, you're good, you're okay. You know, I love you, I'm there for you. And sometimes we take that just to simply mean that he only cares about us. And he doesn't care about that guy, my enemy. He cares about me. But there's a hidden message when God tells you he loves you. Because you know what he's saying when he says he loves you? He's saying he also loves that guy. And if Jesus valued you so much to die on the cross to redeem you, then that's how much he values that lousy, no good boss of yours. That no good for nothing spouse of yours, children of yours, parents of yours. That really annoying neighbor that every time you see them, you just think disgust in your heart. Jesus died to redeem that person. And if I remember that, it's a little hard for me to be mean to the person that Jesus loves so much. But sometimes we still don't have it in us because, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. When someone's feeling insecure and down and depressed, it's hard for them to love, isn't it? When someone's hurt and broken, it's hard for them to be kind and warm. It's difficult. Unless someone comes in and starts loving on them. and being kind to them and gracious to them and understanding towards them. And sometimes the reason why we don't have it in us to be kind is because we haven't experienced it for ourselves. And it's hard sometimes to find that in other people, and we need that in other people. But it's hard to find it in other people because they don't have it in them either. It's hard for them to overlook those things and to be that warmth and kindness that we need. But you know who it's not hard for? You know who we can trust will always respond to us that way? The Lord Jesus Christ. And some of us, the reason why we're incapable of being unkind or kind is because we haven't experienced the kindness of our Lord being manifested in our lives. And if we walk this through, the ramifications are staggering. Life transformation to our hearts and who we are, life transformation to our relationships and certain outcomes, and an ability to draw people to the Lord rather than repelling them from him. We need this to happen in our hearts, don't we? Will you stand with me, worship team? Will you come up prepared to lead us? Stand with me, if you will. Just, Joe, lead whatever you feel led as soon as you're ready. So we see it in God's Word. This Bible that we read is the Word of God. And we see that his call to us is to be kind to one another. That's what the Lord wants from us, is to be a kind person. Not passively, not where I'm just making sure I don't do and say hurtful things, but assertively getting into people's lives and showing them love and kindness in my actions and my words. You might stand here before God feeling justified that you feel you are kind. Is there evidence in your life that you are? Is there evidence to the contrary that you are a kind person? Are you productively honest? Are you too confrontational, so much so that you're sowing seeds of resentment and bitterness and hardness and hurt in other people? Are you too evasive to conflict that you're refusing to confront things that need to be confronted, and you're sowing hatred and bitterness and animosity and strife and hurt into your own heart? Are you trusting the Lord that our behavior is going to come back to us when we choose how we behave with other people? Or are you letting things fester in your heart? Are you contributing to the lives of others? Are you bringing goodness into other people's lives? Are you respecting the value that God has given each person, no matter how ugly in heart they might seem to us? Are you doing that? Are you seeking the transformative work of the Lord in your life? If there's not evidence good enough to say you're a kind person, then you need Jesus to transform you today. And it might be because you're hurt. It might be because you're struggling. It might be because there's things that you're dealing with. That doesn't make the call obsolete. God still calls us to be kind. And he wants to come into your life and show you every bit of that kindness and that peace and that love and that security that you so desperately crave. He wants to set you free from that hurt so that you can see and have more in the wholeness that you bring into the lives of others. Don't you want that? And so if you need that work of the Spirit in your life, don't stay at your seats and deal with it there unless you have some kind of physical limitation. But come to these altars and repent and lay yourself before him and say, Lord, help me. I'm hurting. I'm hurting others. Cleanse me and make me the person you want me to be. Will you seek him this morning? If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment of prayer as we conclude. As customary, I wanted to make sure you didn't miss out if for whatever reason you didn't come forward, but you're dealing with pain and hurt in your heart. And you know it's eating at you, and you know it's not bringing good. It's just hard to get over it. And Maybe it's a very severe thing that you found yourself going through or are going through, but the Lord knows and He wants to carry you through that. In fact, He wants to carry that load for you. You just need to be encouraged this morning. I want to pray that with you today. If you just lift your hand and say, that's me, I need that. Okay, good, good, good. Some hands, good. Or maybe it doesn't have to do with that, or maybe it does, but you know you're not the kind of person you're supposed to be. You are to some people. It's others that you're not, and you want the Lord's forgiveness, and you want Him to empower you to be what the fruit of the Spirit wants to create in our lives, to be kind. And that's you. Lord, help me. Lord, I got a lot of issues. Deliver me. Good. Anybody else? Lord, help me. Good. Lord, we thank You. We don't need great music or a great preacher. We don't need someone who's overly smart. We don't need someone that's strong. We just need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And no matter who's with us and around us, You had said that You would never leave us nor forsake us. And so I ask right now that Your Holy Spirit would begin to get into the hearts of these that have the hurts and the pains that they're dealing with. And You would speak peace to those things. That You would calm the storms that are raging within their hearts and their minds. That You would take every thought captive and renew their minds. That You would take the heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. That You would transform us before You. And that You would forgive us, Lord, for not representing You well. That You would be gracious to us for perhaps unintentionally repelling others from You. That You would help us to begin to bring glory and honor to Your name. That You would empower us to have the strength to do so. To represent You well by the kind of kindness that we show by our actions and our words to the people around us. Friend or enemy, help us to be that. We put our trust in You, and we know that there's a great reward for us, even if it's after our death when we are dwelling with You for all eternity. There, Lord, we will know when we hear the words, well done, that it was worth it to be kind to the one who had nothing to offer us, to the one who was broken and hurtful to us, that it'll be worth it when we hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And hopefully some of those enemies we'll see there, not as enemies, but as transformed children of God. Thank You for showing us Your heart. And when we leave this place, may we just have a hunger within us, a gratitude within us, that wells up within our heart with adoration and praise for You. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So you need some joy in your life? Next week, we'll take a look at that. But love you guys. Thank you for being here. Cake in the back room. God bless you. Have a good week.